Thank you for tuning into the Mauer Report. Before the fastest hour in paranormal talk radio begins, go over to italkparanormal.com and sign up for the weekly newsletter.
The opinions expressed in the Mauer Report are those of the hosts and participants and are not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any simulcasting radio network or sponsor. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions.
It's the Mauer Report. Yeah, the Mauer
Welcome everybody to the Mauer Report, and my guest tonight is Teal Scott, and I'm just fascinated by some of the work she does, so we'll get her up here just as we're talking. Call dropped up right as we were getting ready to go live. Teal, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Dang it. I've been trying to get rid of from saying tonight, because, you know, it goes around the world, and there's a person in my chat room that says it's from Australia, so it'd be good morning. I've got to get out of that habit. Anyways, I'm so... Anyways, personal rant over for now. So, I'm looking at your website, and I posted it everywhere that I could find for you. So, what do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about the videos, painting, poetry? Where do you want to start first? Let's start with, what is your actual true, well, I guess it's all a true passion, but what's that one thing that you really get excited about?
The idea about how I'm going to change the world once we build the company that I've got going. Everything else is kind of a... I guess facilitator for that.
Okay, so go there. Tell me what you're trying to do.
So we've created this company, TLI, which is got it's basically attached to a nonprofit. And that nonprofit, I'm doing some pretty radical things with. So it's basically going to turn into a nonprofit that is an investment company, essentially, that invests in all kinds of positive world change things. And so every single penny, basically, that comes back through that nonprofit is going to be rolled into more and more investments until we get to the point where literally this company is so enormous that it's competing with the companies who you associate with being the most, negative intention people, like, you know, Pfizer and all of these giant people. So we want it basically to get to the point where it can start to create changes on a government level and on a societal level.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that somebody's out there thinking about it to take back, because it seems like we're so corporate-driven. So I'm glad to see somebody's thinking outside the box and trying to bring it back to, I don't want to say common sense, but for the lack of, for the lack of a better euphemism at this point, I guess that's where my mind's taking me. Mm-hmm. So where did that, you just obviously woke up one day and started thinking about it, but what's the backstory, I guess?
The backstory behind why we started the company?
Yeah, why you went into it, why you wanted to get to where you're at least now putting it together, so.
Because it doesn't work for me. Well, I guess growing up watching the way that people are suffering around the world, it doesn't work for me, the system that's been going on. I mean, it's pretty obvious it takes somebody who's not really paying attention to deny the fact that we live in a world where most of the powers that be right now, the ones that are really in charge of corporations, which are not actually out there for the benefit of the people that they are quote-unquote serving. And I'm ready for a company to exist that actually does. But in order for that to happen, money can't be the sole driving force. And so that's why to do it basically through a nonprofit is because then you're removing that aspect from, like, dirty CEOs and things like that, where it's all about the greed factor and it's all about how much money we can use to capitalize off of people. This company literally isn't going to avoid that by not paying out CEOs, by being a nonprofit organization where all of the money is rolled into more and more and more and better things.
So you said you're getting it put together, so how can people help you get it put together and get it rolling?
Well, right now, basically, this organization that I have going rides on the stuff I'm doing in the world. So when I go and do these workshops or speeches or things like that, I'm earning revenue that then is pushed into this nonprofit so that we can invest our first money basically in our first great idea. We've already invested in a few things, but we really want to get to the point where we can recognize, like, say, that awesome piece of technology, which is going to be the next big thing, but that's going to benefit mankind, and then invest in something like that and earn some serious money. And so we need money, obviously, to start to invest in that. And I don't want to take on any investors, because if we took on investors, they're looking for money out of it, which is not the right intention. So we're looking for people to donate money. We're looking for people that will support what I'm doing in the world right now, people who buy my frequency paintings and books and things like that. That money is supporting the cause.
I guess I should actually double back and introduce you, probably. Since I jumped the gate. I'm just excited to get the show started, I guess, tonight for some reason. My guest tonight is Teal Scott. The spiritual catalyst, what's your official, I mean, you've got, I've noticed different things floating around, so what's your title, or what do you want to put out there besides your name?
Well, if I had my way, I'd be known as just Teal. It's kind of a standalone name, but, yeah, I feel like whatever people want to call me is fine. I resonate with pretty much everything that people call me.
Okay, well, fine, I'll call you Teal. I don't have a problem with that. That's good. Makes my life a whole lot easier, since I don't have to call you the Queen of England. like I said, it's amazing all the stuff that you're able to do and pull off. I watched a couple snippets of your video because I wanted to get the idea of who you are and personality-wise. So I can't say I've watched them all the whole way through, but how do you do that? I have a hard time producing a radio show, and you're doing video. So where do the ideas, I mean, how do you do that? I mean, I know they're shorter, but how do you do that?
Well, it's pretty much endless, the amount of topics that fill me with passion. It's like when I think I've reached the end and I'm like, I don't really know if I have much more to talk about, I'll, like, go out to town and find myself in this circumstance, and I'm like, you know what, actually, somebody needs to talk about that subject. So it's kind of like every week I've got this ongoing list. It's like a book, you know, with all these things that I want to be talking about and teaching about, and on top of that, people submit their questions to me, and a lot of times when I receive those questions, I'm like, oh, that's genius, yeah, I should talk about that also. And so I basically select a topic for the week, and I jot down notes about everything that I want to say about the subject, and then my trusty right-hand man, Blake, and I basically start shooting. And the amount of passion that goes into those things is really why we're able to produce at such a high rate, because it's just, I mean, there's so much stuff out there that needs to be talked about, you know, and so many questions. It's like there's so many questions. You could never even find an answer for all of them, you know?
No, I know, because I was looking, like I said, I was looking around, and I looked down the list, and you have videos about money and love, and I've got this big long note here about overcoming your problems, which I think at this time of year might be an issue for some people, or the connectivity, you know, because you get around your family in the holidays, and it's not always necessarily comfortable, so that could be a problem. So, not saying that everybody doesn't love their family. God, before that
or
gets
Or are we saying that, or are we?
Well, I guess we're saying that to a degree. So, first, some advice out there for people who have to deal with a family member they may not necessarily love, like being around. Putting you on the spot, I'm sorry.
That's all right. People do that all the time. I think the best way to deal with somebody who's in that type of a place is to realize that our lives here are much more than just the way that we're physically looking at it, meaning that we are non-physical beings first that have come forth to live this experience, and we have different intentions for coming into life. So if you look at people like they're, for lack of a better way of explaining it, a spirit or a soul that's on their own journey and their own path, then it's easier to just allow them to learn from their own life experience rather than to feel like you have to insert yourself into their reality as their teacher. And that level of allowing towards them will allow you to not take things so personally and to realize that you're on your own path as well. That's nobody else's choice, and it's nobody else can do more than influence you to change your course on your own path. They can't push you off it. So it's about deliberately focusing. It's about recognizing that sort of more eternal picture of reality than focusing just on this physical aspect of, oh, this person's rejecting me because of something that I did this year, or fill in the blank.
Yeah, you've got to get past the minor things in life and just look at the big picture there. My little bow on top of your big present there. Not that counts for much of anything, but...
No, it counts for a lot, actually, because it's actually a tool that I use with people, and it's kind of funny because I teach positive focus, right? So So teaching positive focus, people are thinking, well, you should always focus on something that feels totally awesome to focus on. But here's the funny part. One of the best tools to use is to think about, like, the worst case scenario that you could think of. Like, what would it be like if I was living in the Middle East right now and I had had soldiers break into my house and shoot up my family today? Like, if you think from that standpoint, then you're using that as a tool to see your life in a light that allows you to see what there is to be grateful for. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. It's always some. We've always, as Americans, forget how good we have it compared to people around the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we look at other Americans and we think, boy, it'd be nice to have that or this. I guess I shouldn't single out that because that isn't that bad. But it's just remarkable how spiritually skewed we can be at times about how certain things are important in the grand scheme of things. But as the old joke goes, you can't take them with you. So.
Oh, yeah. But people have to figure that out for themselves. Which is why I think the most beneficial thing to do is to just help people line up with whatever it is that they want. See, I'm a little bit different this way. Most spiritual teachers are going to teach you what is appropriate and what's not appropriate to want and to desire. I feel like it doesn't matter what it is that you desire. Let's line up with it so that that can become a new platform from which to desire more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just no matter what you get, though. That's always what people tell me. No matter what you end up with, you always want more of it.
Always.
Always. So desire good things and or happy things or people that make you happy, I guess, would be better than happy things.
Do you know what? What's ironic is if people just knew that desire never ceases, desire would cease to cause them so much pain. We think that when we desire, we're sort of wanting to get to an end space. So we want to get to that place where we have no more desire because there's no more unwanted things in our experience. But if we understood that that defies expansion, will never happen, then you will understand that there will always be new desires in your reality. There will always be new things which you feel like you don't have that you want. And there's a sort of ease with that once you understand that that's an eternal process. You are no longer striving to get to a receding finish line. Happiness increases. In fact, you can enjoy your new desires because they are part of the intense process of creation rather than a source of discomfort.
So I've just seen it twice in two different chat rooms. So I'm going to ask it because it must be important. What does it mean to line up with it?
Okay. To line up with something is to get into the feeling space as if it has already occurred. Or to go into a space of allowing. So alignment is not a... I think it's a process. That's where we should go with that. To align with something is a process of releasing resistance so that your vibration can gradually match the frequency of that which you have asked for or that which is your desire. So let's say that I really want money. To be out of alignment, to not line up with money, is to think thoughts like, there's not enough money in the world. I don't know how money's going to come to me. No one I know has enough money. My retirement's going away. Thoughts like that vibrate at a frequency which is far different than the desire for money and the presence of money. So what you have to be doing is allowing yourself incrementally to match the frequency of having money in order to experience that. So experiencing a manifestation is a byproduct of aligning or lining up with something. Does that make sense? So to line up with money would be to think thoughts like, or to look around your experience and see things that make you feel like you have abundance. So maybe I am sitting in this house and I'm going to do a visualization where I pretend to be somebody from Nigeria walking into my life. What would I, the Nigerian, appreciate and see as abundance in my life? Just that process is one tool you can use to line up with money because you're vibrating more closely to the vibration of abundance than lack.
So in other words, I'm just trying to make sure I'm following you. I'm going to put it in plain English here for everybody. It's kind of confused in the chat room. You're telling people to dream big?
Hell yeah, why not?
Okay.
This was kind of a, I'm sorry to tell you guys, but coming into this life was kind of a go big or go home game. We all are playing it right now.
So, okay, this is kind of an awkward question, but they've all been awkward questions tonight. Is this are we in a spiritual cycle and a spiritual awakening of sorts right now?
Oh, yes, huge. An enormous awakening. You can feel it. Nothing has ever been so polarized as right now. Never has there been more expansion out of any time-space reality than this time-space reality on planet Earth right now. So it's like, you know, we talk a lot about the fact that you shouldn't really feed the ego, but the ego really is correct in this particular regard. You are in a great stage of awakening. There is so much expansion happening right now. The human race is completely polarizing right now. People are lining up with their eternal aspects at an enormous rate. Even the planets, I mean, the positioning of all of them, they're completely in line with this giant change which is taking place. It is definitely a nice time to be manifested.
So I guess my follow-up question to that is, so where does it go from here? Where's the... Where are we at in, like, years? I don't know how many years to even put on it, but since this awakening is going on, where are we going to be?
There are potentials. That's why I steer clear of telling people where the Earth is going, because the future is only ever a potential. It's just a potential match to the current vibration which humanity is offering, or which the Earth itself is offering. And so we can't say what will and won't happen. We can only say the potentials that are currently a match to our now. And I don't think it's super beneficial for people to focus on what we're lining up with, because what's more important is how you feel right now and how we can shift that into a better feeling space on an individual level, on a human consciousness level, societal level, you name it. We are the ones creating our reality. You literally are walking into a reality which is like a blank canvas. We get to draw whatever it is we want to draw. Nothing is set in stone.
And that just releases you. I mean, you take a full advantage of that between your videos and your poetry and your painting and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So you live what you say, or you say what you live, or I don't. Anyways.
I definitely try to, but it is seriously difficult. I'm not gonna joke you about that. We have to be honest. Living this kind of a life, which is this outside the box, which is really what I'm asking people to do, is step way outside the box. It's really difficult. You're going up against years and years of conditioning. So, I think it's actually beneficial to know that someone like me actually struggles with it.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Life can be better, but...
Well, life can... That's the thing, though. That's back to the original question there. No matter what you have, it can always be better. So.
Yeah, but that's fun now. That's the difference. The difference is that the fact that it can always be better is fun now instead of painful. It's almost like when you get really good at this. So when I'm really in the swing, not when I'm on my bad days, okay, but like when I'm really in the swing of this, what it starts to feel like is that I'm creating this new painting, and the painting is my life. And I don't have any more issue with what isn't done on that painting than, you know, in my life rather than I have on the painting. So you understand, if you're drawing something, right, on a blank canvas, you don't get bent out of shape about the lack of paint that's on the canvas. It's just sort of fun to see where the paint goes and how it fills in the lack of artistic expression that is on that canvas.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And I've got another question here for you. I'm spinning it kind of all different directions because as they pop up, I'm trying to read them. They're doing great over their night at keeping my eyes kind of just shifting around. Just keeps clicking up. So I'm trying to scribble stuff down as I see it. So... Does suffering need to happen for the positive thing to move forward to?
That's a good question. Suffering does not need to occur. Pain, however, is another question. When we're talking about pain, let's talk about what's unwanted. So we have to basically have the contrast, which is the negative emotional states, in order to even know what positive emotional states are or what joy is. So those types of contrast states are necessary. But when we're talking about suffering, what we're talking about is focusing on the thing that is unwanted, focusing on the pain, even though we have already given rise to what is wanted instead. So it's like the minute that you look at something unwanted, you feel the pain of having lack of money. That causes you to desire money. So money is something which is born within this universe already, and your job is to align with it. But if you don't align with it, if you continue to focus on the lack, even though you have that new desire which you've given birth to, you're holding yourself in resistance to the very desire which you have. And that points you against the current of life itself. You'll start to get beaten up by it, and you'll start to suffer even more. So when we're talking about suffering, that's what we're talking about. We're keeping ourselves a match to the lack even after we have already given birth to what we would prefer. So suffering is a byproduct of not allowing yourself to line up with what you want. And that is not necessary at all.
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know if I can ask you this question, but I'm going to. It's a simple question, but I know it's one of those ones I wish I had the can opener sound effect for, but I'm going to ask it.
Okay.
What is God?
Okay, God, essentially,
I told you if I had the can opener effect, I would play it for you.
God is a word that we have ascribed to the knowingness that we have that all things in existence belong to the same consciousness. So the reason it feels so large is because you are a unit of a bigger picture. Of course, this is difficult to explain to a three-dimensional mind, but let's pretend that we are looking at a giant puzzle. The puzzle itself is what we call God. The pieces are you, the lamppost, the cat, the microphone. All things in existence are an aspect of that united consciousness. That united consciousness is what we use the name God to represent. But it's a bit of a problem because the minute that we say God, you make it an it, and thus you lose the real truth of what it is.
Okay. It's like I told you, it was one of the deep cans I knew that we could get in trouble with. Well, you did good,
hey,
but yeah.
I don't like to avoid trouble. If you didn't notice.
That's okay. Here's another one of these questions. I should really get this down because this is good. I have a question. Where are the cures to man-made diseases? Which I didn't realize diseases were man-made, but I guess
the cures to man-made diseases. I would say they're in the human mind, and I know that's going to irritate people a lot because everyone wants to find that sort of magic cure. But the reality is we are only a match to illness if we are already thinking thoughts that cause our own energy to deplete in a way where we are susceptible to anything. And so the real human disease and the real immunity, if you will, is our own ability to find alignment with our true selves, to think in a way which is positive. Because we have to understand, our physical bodies are an extension of source energy. We are energetic beings before we are physical beings. And every time you think of a negative feeling thought, you are out of alignment with that source self within you, with your very being. And that means that the energy that is flowing through your, what most people call soul or spirit, is inhibited from flowing through your physical body. So if we were in a state of alignment 24 hours a day, you could not be a match to illness even if you tried. So I'm not one of those people who's going to say, oh, it's great to go find some external cure, because that's just symptom relief. Everything, in truth, is just symptom relief, second to finding alignment in your own life.
Okay. I love thinking. Of course, the problem is people say I'm unprepared, but I'm unprepared because I'm listening to my guests and I'm not going, so my next question is, and just reading the next one. So I have to clear that up because people think that, you know, I'm like, no, I've got a full sheet of notes over here, but I asked a question that wasn't on the notes, now I'm listening to the answer. Here's another question that is on my notes. But if you ever get hard up for video ideas, put it out to you've got a bunch of fans that love and adore you. And they've got, they're like always, they're the ones asking these questions. So I'm just kind of trying to pick them off as I can get them. They're asking a lot of them. So if you ever need a video idea, I'm sure if you ask them to help you, I'm sure they've got a bunch. I mean, they've thrown up 7 or 8 here. So is the source of energy a sun? What do the sun and stars represent in the universe?
The stars and the sun are just different beings. They are actually, it's interesting because from source perspective, they are seen as living entities, essentially, with their own energies, with their own intentions. They are a being. So you interact with them the same way you would interact with your family members. It just so happens that they tend to affect their energy influences, our energies here, more so than other things within the universe. They hold particularly strong vibrations. This is why people who basically study astrology have an argument because the way that these planetary energies, these large celestial beings, align themselves creates an energetic pattern that you opt into when you come into your birth. So we should be viewing them kind of like we view other people. They are living beings. They are imbued with their own intentions, their own consciousness.
Okay. Now, this next question is about the Georgia Guidestones, the Colorado Airport, and the underground world. I think the Georgia Guidestones are fascinating. I know a little bit about the Colorado Airport and the underground world. Like, you know, have that overview knowledge. I don't know anything about it. So,
well, you're going to have to educate me.
Well, it's just
now I'm like, what have I not heard about? Okay, tell me.
Well, the Georgia Guidestones were put up by somebody just as like a monument to human nature. I don't have great information about them either, but they're fascinating. I mean, it's just kind of like Stonehenge, but modern, I guess.
Yeah, I'm completely unaware of this. I'm going to have to actually go look this stuff up. Nice question.
Yeah, we stumped her. Yay! No.
Yeah, you kind of did, actually. You're going to have to, like, type that to me so I can look into this.
Here, I'll try to get it from the, let's see. But anyway, so when people were developing creativity, because that's what I look at your stuff as, a creativity outlet. How do people get started? I mean, because you were saying outside the box earlier, and this question kind of broods with me because I do this show, and that's kind of my creative outlet. But how would you, the best advice to get somebody started in becoming creative, no matter what they want to do?
Creativity is a natural expression of every human being. And so if we're not in a space of creation, we're not in alignment with our own personal integrity. What that means is if you feel a lack in terms of your creative ability, that means that you're the kind of person who feels no but says yes. So you abandon yourself a lot. So the first step if you want to become a creative being is you have to line up with yourself. That means if somebody asks you to a party, you feel the intuition that you don't want to go, but you say yes, you have taken a back step. You have got to honor the way you feel 24 hours a day because your expressions are going to be the direct reflection of how you feel. You have to be aware of how you feel. You have to be able to express how you feel. That's the only way that the energy is going to be moving through you at a rate where you can be in that true creative process, where you can even feel passion at all. See, if you're the kind of person who abandons your own personal feeling, you ignore it, you go in the direction of what you think you should do instead of what you are feeling is true for you personally, then you will never get to a space where you feel passion. And creation and passion are absolutely married concepts.
That they are. You have to have a passion for it, and you have to be creative to get it done. Because even building a house, as rigid as it can be, you have to be creative to get the design and get everything together.
Exactly. So let's go here. If I'm the kind of person who listened to my parents when they said that I needed to get a practical job, and now I have a practical job, and I'm telling myself the story that I need to pay my bills, and that's why I'm keeping my job, I am out of alignment with my own feelings, and thus I will not be able to allow creative energy to move through me. I will feel like my life is just meaningless, like there's no true expression of who I really am in the world, and my life will be void of meaning.
Well, that's me Skype sounding you there. I just finally caught up to it. Boy, they're making it tough on me tonight. That's fine. And by the way, for those people trying to get audio at my site and can't, I'm sorry, it's cutting out. I'm reaching the top of my server, which is a wonderful thing to happen, but of course it's a bad thing to have happen when you got a wonderful guest on, but it's a good thing. Okay. So if you're missing part of it because it's jumping in and out on you, it'll be available on podcast. It'll be wonderful. You can go download it. All well and good. So, I should probably mention my guest is Teal Scott, and it's the Malware Report. Okay, there, I cleaned that all up, too. See? I used to write that in my notes, my guest notes. Like, I'd have, like, a few questions, and then I'd write, announce the guest in your show name. And then I realized that people are tuning in. Like, it's not like FM radio where they scan around and just stumble across it.
Yeah.
So, because if you know, yeah, that's what kills me about some people. They're like, go to this website, and you're already on that website listening to it. It's like, okay, anyways, I digress. I get on my soapbox about things that kind of just pet peeves of mine.
But at least you're in the flow of passion, which is where we would wish most people to be.
There you go.
Because if you have that amount of passion towards the negative end, you have the same amount of passion towards what is wanted. So this is what we want more from people, is to acknowledge the truth and the depth of their own feelings.
Yeah, okay, so here's another one of these. These people are asking better questions than I would have asked. This is good stuff. I like this. What do you think about reincarnation?
To me, it's an undeniable thing. It's like laughable to me that we would think that we could reincarnate, you know, this one time, and that's all there is. When energy recycles, we understand this. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. So even from a scientific standpoint, it's kind of funny to me that we could even try to argue that there is no such thing as reincarnation. Reincarnation exists. That is the nature of existence. So, yeah, that's basically my answer.
Okay, so the next question is, I've seen it bounce around a couple different times, different way you ask it, so I'm going to ask it now. Tell me about the pagan and Wicca traditions. Are they in alignment with the source?
They can be. See, this is the thing. All traditional religions and non-traditional religions are capable of expressing truths which are very much in alignment with source energy. That means that if you talk to one Wiccan, they might have a way of behaving, a way of thinking, believing, acting, which is super in alignment with source energy. Talk to the next one, and not so much the case. That's what you're going to find with every single religion, every single religious leader, anyone. So I think that both pagan and Wiccanism are actually very beautiful in and of themselves. I actually studied Wicca for about 5 years straight. I was completely immersing myself in it because of the fact that there were so many beautiful elements, and the fact that Wicca and paganism both recognize alchemy. They recognize mind creates reality. They recognize it to a degree. We're at a point now where we're ready to move beyond that, sort of like we're graduating and it's getting even more exalted. But back then, way back when, Wicca and paganism really represented the human acknowledgement of one's own power of intention. So I think it can be one of the most in alignment traditions. And obviously, the more communion that we feel with the planet Earth and with the planetary influences, the more in alignment we are with the energies around us. We're not resisting it. Say, we're not resisting it the same way that somebody on Wall Street is when they're not even aware that the tree is and them are connected, you know?
The tree to them is money, not a living thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait. I said that, not you. Okay. Before, because you're looking for to be part of that. I'll take the blame for that later. oh, wait, I might want an investor. I might want a sponsor. I better... Where's the audio delete? Oh, anyway. No, it's all good. And so, you only have one book, or I was only able to find one book?
I have one book that's out right now and another
okay.
book which I'm searching for a publisher for. And
okay.
I'm flirting with a few companies right now about that, but yeah.
Okay. Because well, I see all these other things. You have so much out there. I kind of felt like I knew there was one either close or done, so...
Oh, yeah, and I'm super passionate about this one coming up. Oh,
okay.
Let me tell you.
Well, I mean, I know it's not out yet, but you can give me, let's go to Twitter here. Give me a short little blurb about it.
Okay, it's How to Love Yourself. Because I was noticing, essentially, that the major issue that we have when we're teaching people how to love themselves is that we tell them that they need to do it all day long. And when you're in a space where you don't love yourself, you hate yourself, in fact. When you hear someone say, you just need to learn to love yourself, you kind of sort of want to kill them because you have no idea how to do that. And so I wanted this book to be a how-to. How do you start from self-hate and go all the way to self-love? I wanted it to be a practical process. So that's what the book's about, and I'm so in love with it, I cannot even tell you.
Well, that's a good thing, though. And tell me about the first book, then, since it's out. I can push people there to buy it, so...
The first book, The Sculptor in the Sky, is an informative guide to the universe. It's really it's like a mix-and-match book. I wanted it to be that way. So the first few chapters, it basically tells you all the big questions, or big answers to big questions in life. So you've got, why are we here? What is the purpose of happiness? What's the meaning of your life? You know, those big questions. And I give you a picture of the universe and what it is that we're doing here. and how desire plays into the expansion of the universe, and how to line up with your desires, you have to find a way to feel better. And so the second half of the book, because basically the premise is, if you really want to maximize your life, you have to prioritize happiness. And happiness is not just important on an individual level, it's important on a giant, massive, universal level. So once we know that, how do you line up with happiness? Yeah, that was the book.
Sounds good to me. Okay, so back to the random questions I'm getting fired at me to ask you. So I'm just gonna they ask the questions. I'm gonna ask you to answer them. There we go. Small little words make a big difference in a statement like that. Can you ask her about going out of body and how to continue doing so?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. Well. Yeah, man, that's like a huge subject. I could write a book on that particular question.
There you go. Go ahead.
I have a harder time, actually, myself personally, being in body than I do being out of body. And so me being a teacher for people to go out of body is, I don't think it's my strongest subject. I mean, I've been able to do it in the past, but it's not like my forte. I feel like what enables people to get out of body the fastest, ironically, is to find a way to love the 3D reality. And people who are really into getting out of body don't like that answer, but here's why I give that answer. Resistance creates what you're resistant to. So most people who want to get out of body want to get out of body because they don't enjoy their 3D experience, their life. And if we don't enjoy our life, we don't enjoy the 3D experience, we are resisting the 3D life experience. And that resistance actually holds us like an anchor to the physical dimension to the degree that we can't get out of body. So it's almost like by finding a way to completely fall in love with the 3D reality as if that's the only thing that you will ever experience and that you love this reality, is like turning around in the opposite direction, unhooking yourself or pulling up that anchor you have, and then it becomes quite easy for you to align with other dimensional realities. So that's the first step. And then there's about a million people out there that have techniques that they can teach you about getting out of body that are quite good, I have to admit. It's not like I think that they're that the people out there that have information on how to get out of body are leading people astray. I think many of them have good techniques, and it's just about trying all kinds of different ones until you find the one that works for you. I even have a video out on how to get out of body.
Shameless plug, go for it. How do people find these videos? I mean, I'll post the link here in my podcast blog, but I don't have it up right in front of me. So is that AskTeal?
My channel. You can either go to AskTeal, I think it's .com. Oh, no. I should know these things before I go on air.
Yes, it is .com. I found it. Don't worry.
So you can either go there or else you can go directly to YouTube and you can type in my channel is called The Spiritual Catalyst. But Here's how to cheat at this, and this is what I do if I'm trying to find one of my own videos. I just go to YouTube, I type in Teal Scott, and then you'll see that little, it's like a little image that you can click on that says View Channel, and then you can get to all the videos that way. It's just like easier than typing something into the search bar, I think, you know?
Or you can bookmark Ask Teal and have all of them right there, and thespiritualcatalyst.com has links to everything out there, too, so it's exciting. Keeps you busy, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
And you have a blog up there on the Spiritual Catalyst.
Which is my personal favorite.
Well, I'm sure. I haven't read any of it, but it looks amazing.
It's juicy. It's like its own reality TV show.
I'm jealous because it looks great because you have the images and you have a nice layout for it. I'm just jealous because... Well, I'm just lucky to get the show off the ground. So, but I'm getting better. People tell me that. I don't believe it, but I'm trying. So.
Well, it's not like I do this all by myself. It's like everybody has this image of me as the superhero over here. Reality check is, if you could hear me on a daily basis, I'm like yelling for everyone else in the house to help me. I've got a huge team of people, and they're absolutely awesome. Most of them are volunteers, people who are completely dedicated to the mission that we all have going, and sort of like this little army, everybody gets assigned their part of this puzzle, basically. So without them, I would definitely not be producing at the rate that I'm producing, I can tell you that. What I love about working with a team is that I get to sort of be this, it's sort of like a sprinkler of creation, and people who are with me get to channel that and fit it into boxes and promote it. I just get to create.
Yeah, it'd be. I'm working on it slowly, getting pieces of people together. Oh yeah, this is an interactive chat tonight. I can answer that question. It's good though. I'm enjoying it. So I think somebody just said there's 53 people over there going back and forth. That's why it's making it difficult for me to read. I'm glad. Don't get me wrong. I do enjoy reading it. It's just trying to listen and read. It's just not great.
Don't worry. The Teelers have patience.
So
you'll notice that they're in general, they're a very forgiving bunch. They're just super enthusiastic, you see.
That's good, though. It's good to have people that have that kind of, you encourage people to have that passion. It's good that people
Hell
have that
yeah.
passion
These
for you.
These people are the movers and shakers. Yes.
And I want to be sure they all come back next week. Oh, okay. I have to say it, you know, that whole... Yeah, I'm letting you promote yourself. I have to promote myself once in a while, too. So, let's see. The reptilians, it seems to be the little, who are the reptilians, what are they doing?
Reptilians see themselves as garbage cleaner uppers. So it's beneficial to see them a bit like you would see a fly in a garbage heap. The issue is that what they think is quote-unquote garbage is not exactly what other people think is garbage. So a lot of these beings are watching the human race right now, and it's like I don't need to sell you on their particular idea. It's like sort of like a no-brainer. Just turn on the news. What you're going to see is people desecrating each other. And so to an extraterrestrial being who is observing this kind of behavior, it's a bit difficult to make the case that humanity in general is going anywhere positive. So their argument essentially is that this is one of the species that should be cleaned up.
Okay.
That's interesting that everybody out there was a match to that. I usually sugarcoat the hell out of that story.
You don't have to do that here. Actually, I've got this little final thought from after I let you go that's probably going to make some people mad. Just saying, for the record.
Now I'm nervous. Now you just made me.
No, it's not about you. It's actually about these haunted paranormal places that people try to run as business. Like prisons and insane asylums. I've got an interesting little thought about that. Kind of scary when you think about it. So, fun about you. Don't worry.
Okay. All right.
So, oh no, I'm enjoying this, even though I'm kind of my, this is like, I'm going to have to re-listen to it myself because I'm doing a seahorse thing of watching this and trying to listen and scribble notes so I can ask good questions that people are asking as they float by. And so, it's all good. It's good. actually, release resistance so the pain will go away. So, okay, you were talking about you have to go through the pain. So how do we get rid of the pain to move forward? You might have asked me, talked about this a little bit earlier, but...
Oh, it's quite simple. It's quite simple. You let go of the idea of happiness. You let go of the idea of joy. You let go of the idea of healing. And you look for one thing alone, and that thing is relief. So if you... And you'll sort of feel that as a lightening, a letting go, an opening up within your body. So what I mean by looking for the thing that causes relief is maybe if I'm super, super angry, throwing like glass bottles at the side of a building is going to cause me to feel relief. That means that it's the right thing to do. Now, maybe if I'm in a space where I'm feeling pessimistic, doing a gratitude exercise, where I'm writing down all the things that I really truly enjoy about my life, not that I'm thankful for, because that, of course, pushes people upstream most often, but things that I actually genuinely enjoy about my reality, if I'm writing that list, I will feel a sensation of relief. So that sensation, relief is this one feeling, basically, which applies to every different feeling state. The improvement upon whatever vibration you're currently in will always feel like relief. So if we look for relief, we'll always be flowing in the direction of alignment.
Okay. Again, that kind of whole blowing my mind thing, I just don't like that. It's good, though. It's good to think, but it's not productive for a guy that's supposed to talk after you get done talking. Okay. So... This next question is a good question for me. How do you balance out your mind? Because sometimes I get so absorbed in the creative end of things, I don't ever get anything done.
Well, you got to explain that to me, because That's like a contradiction in terms.
No, no. Well, see, especially when I'm trying to work on something visual, I get so nitpicky into it that I lose track of the big thing. Like, I'm always working on, like, I'm going to kind of exaggerate the example, a few pixels, and then I pull back and I realize I've ruined the whole picture.
That doesn't have anything to do with your focus relative to creation. It has to do with your fear of doing something poorly. So that resistance is actually making you line up with it. So really it's a self-worth issue, more so than it is an issue of your focused creation. So what you've got going is a what we call a vibrational tug of war.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're striving for perfection, but it's good, but you're just always looking for that little...
Yeah, so the focus is actually on what's wrong. So that's what you're actually giving more focus to. So what we're doing is we're using us getting overwhelmed in the creative process is a scapegoat for what's actually happening, which is that more of your focus energy is dedicated towards the worry of something not being a good product.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing to get over, and I'm working on just saying, you know what, it is what it is, and just let it go.
That's the best thing to do, and I encourage people to do that all day long. Just create stuff and almost like cut it loose. You can even do a visualization where you basically you visualize yourself and your creation with a cord between you, and then you cut the cord, and you imagine that you're sort of giving your creation over to the universe, and if the universe wants to absolutely destroy it, it's up to the universe to destroy it. It's a form of detachment with that which you create. And what's interesting is you realize, being a creator, after a while, once you put stuff in the public eye, that people are going to do whatever the hell they want with your creations. Because once you put it out in the world, it's not yours anymore. It's theirs.
That's right.
And we got to trust people to do what's best for them with the stuff that we give them, too. I mean, that's hard for me. I don't like it when people hate my paintings or things like that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I need to be able to trust people to know what's good for them or to know what the highest and best use of something is for them.
Yeah. You've got to accept things as they are. It's, again, back to the whole family thing. You're just kind of going way back in the early part of the show. Just take it for what it is, smile and grin and laugh at them.
That's depressing.
What?
Did you feel the vibration within you just then of, like, a resignation?
No. I felt... it's got to be what it is. You can't change everything, especially other people.
Well, good. I'll talk to this for a little bit because this is good. There are some people that are tuned in that need to hear this. So there is a sort of kind of resignation when we talk about needing to accept things as they are, because how can you, on one hand, say you create your own reality, on the other, say you have no control over anything, just accept what is? This is a major issue for us because it is such a dichotomy. So what we're looking to do is not accept what is as much as we are find approval for what is. Once we find approval for what is, we're not holding ourselves in resistance to it. We can't cause ourselves to like something we don't like, but we can cause ourselves to look for things we actually do genuinely like. But our focus is not usually in that direction. It's usually in the direction of what we can't stand.
Right, because that's the obvious one, because it rubs you the wrong way.
Yes.
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. So I've seen this question about four times now, so I'm going to ask it because how was Jesus crucified a match to being crucified?
By virtue of his resistance. This is sort of why it's so important for people to see that the greatest spiritual teachers of all time still have an aspect of resistance. Because we don't understand things like that. From a perfect state, from a teacher who understood you create your own reality, how the hell could somebody have lined up with that? It goes like this. You pay more attention towards the end of your life to what you don't like about what's happening within society than you're paying attention to what you do like about your own mission.
Right.
But the reason that the universe would not condemn that as a giant mistake is because, let me tell you, if Jesus had not been crucified, the Christian religion would not exist today. In essence, that whole experience was his opus. So regardless of whether he lined up with it by virtue of his resistance or not, his opus, that giant amount of contrast, gave rise to the whole Christian movement, which, even though it's not a super improvement now, was a massive improvement on the religions that existed at that time.
Yeah, it's phenomenal to think about how one event could change the course of, well, every event changes the course of history, but some more than others.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I know.
I guess I had to backtrack out of that little thought I was having, but as it was coming out, I'm like, no, that's not exactly what you want to say. Abort. Are you a Reiki master or in the Reiki? Or where are you on with that?
I enjoy Reiki as a discipline, but by virtue of being born extrasensory, Reiki is unnecessary for me to study because what I'm seeing is actual energy movements. So I don't need to learn these symbols and learn the way to move energy, because when you see how energy moves, it's basically as easy as like somebody knowing how to wipe up like a spill on a table. It doesn't take a lot when you actually see the water and you see the towel and you can figure out exactly what it's going to take to get the water into the towel, right?
Right.
So if you can see it, it kind of shortcuts the studying of Reiki. So I have not wanted to get certified in any of those techniques. Number one. Number two, energy is something which we all manipulate. It's something which we all can do. Everybody can be an energy healer. I'm super, super passionate about teaching people that. No matter what, you can heal with energy, and you can trust yourself to intuitively know what to do. This is the opposite of what a lot of people are going to tell you. They're going to say, no, you have to learn exactly how energy needs to be moved, otherwise you're going to mess people's lives up. You can't do that. Because when somebody comes into a room towards a person with an attitude, with an intention set of positivity, with an intention to heal, an intention to help someone line up with their happiness or their health, you can't be a match to doing something that harms someone. And I don't like the fact that a lot of these, the whole certification process is like, learn my technique instead of pay attention to your own intuition. So I always tend to favor the techniques, especially the energy healing modalities, more like quantum touch, that really teach people how to align with their own intuition relative to using energy work, rather than follow a specific guideline that has been set out for thousands of years, which is what Reiki is like.
Okay, so I've got two more questions I'm going to ask you. So
okay.
People in the chat room are probably going to be disappointed, because the first one here is very easy for you, I hope. So be prepared. Give me the promotion. Tell people where they can find you, social media, anything you want them to know. Go.
Okay. Oh, no. I'm always unprepared for this. Okay. I think the very best thing to do would be to log on to Facebook. You can follow my Facebook page, Teal Scott, and I've also got a fan page there. I post there every day. And so we're posting quotes. We're posting workshops. We're posting upcoming things. And also my website, www.thespiritualcatalyst.com. It's easier just to go to Google and type in Teal Scott. You can find me that way. I'll also ask Teal or on YouTube, which is the channel The Spiritual Catalyst. Those are the best ways to follow me.
All right. And my last question for you is, the last word, last advice that you want to leave all the listeners with tonight is?
You can trust yourself. The only reason that we don't trust ourselves is because we don't honor the way we actually feel. Feelings are not these abstract concepts. It's not something which is just an offcast, a byproduct of life that is sort of flippant. It is absolutely the meat of your life. And your true being, your truth, your personal truth, your essence is going to be reflected to you through the way that you feel. So if you are feeling one way and acting another way, you cannot ever be in alignment enough to line up with your purpose here on this planet. And you will not trust yourself, because you're going to go against yourself. If you feel one way and do another thing that's out of alignment with the way you feel, what you're going to learn is that you can't trust yourself. That's really the heart of self-distrust. So if you start honoring the way you feel, make it a practice, just for the sake of practicing it, to honor the way you feel 24 hours a day, regardless of how much problem it might cause for other people, that's what it's going to take for your life to go the way you want it to go. That's what it's going to take for people to come into your experience that accept the truth of who you are, instead of trying to get yourself to fit into this crappy mold everyone else wants you to fit into, which has not been working for you for so long. So my number one message is, even though you don't know it yet, you can trust yourself 100%. So just listen to the way you feel, heed the way you feel, and your life will go so amazingly that you're going to come back at me later basically doing jumping jacks.
All right, Tia. Well, I'm going to drop you out. Like I said, I've got this final thought I want to get to. But I want to thank you, and I'll be sending you a message here on Skype in a few minutes.
Okay, see you.
Tonight's sponsor is looking for a family-friendly audio adventure. The World of God's Land Fantasy Series begins with The Call of Harold, now available in audiobook format. Act now, get the free audiobook and audiobook for just $1.99, which is saving you a bunch of money. Visit bit.ly/audio199. That's bit.ly/audio199, all numbers, or come over to iTalk Paranormal, click the banner. So, tonight's final thought. I've got 2 minutes to get this out, and I'm going to do it as best as I can. I've seen a lot of this stuff going around about there's a particular paranormal place that the people took the money and ran, so to speak. I don't know if it's true, so I'm not alleging them. I'm just saying we're just going to lay out some facts for you here. I was talking to a businessman, a very savvy businessman, and I said, hey, I'm talking to these people that want to run these haunted amusements like jails, asylums, whatever it is. So let's go with 75,000 square feet. How much money would it take to run that? And I said, $200,000. He laughed at me. $200,000. But let's break that down. These little ballpark numbers I'm putting on. $100,000 for administration, which is your tax. You've got to hire somebody to administrate this, or a tour guide, or somebody. There's got to be people there to take care of this thing. Plus the $100,000 for heat, water, electric, all that stuff. And he said that's low. So doing the math on that amount right there, $200,000, that's $550 a night, every night of the year. And that's low. That's why these places go belly up and people take off with the money, because they can't rake the money and they need to do to keep them open. I'm sorry. Some historical places are great. Some need preserved, but the paranormal field can't do it alone. Let's get over that notion right now. Okay. So, hey, if you run one of these places and you can do it and you get volunteers to help you and this, that, and the other, and a lot of donations, it's all well and good. I'm just saying the math doesn't work, at least the math that I have. So, I want to thank Teal. She was an amazing guest, and all the people that tuned in tonight in the chat room were amazing. I'm sorry that some of you had audio problems. The podcast is coming. If you're listening on podcast, thank you for listening there. Until we can get along, or until next week, keep quacking. Enjoy your rest of your day.
Well, before we flip that on-air sign to the off position, a quick reminder. For all things about the report, previews, and reviews, go to italkparanormal.com.
This is Thomas P. Fusco, author of the book Behind the Cosmic Veil, A New Vision of Reality, and originator of the theory of supergeometry. And you are listening to The Mallard Report.
Hi, this is Dave Rowntree, author of Paranormal Technology, Understanding the Science of Ghost Hunting, lecturer, author, and paranormal researcher. And when you're not busy in the field, do what I do and listen to The Mallard Report with Jim Mallard.
If you look